It is Friday morning. Welcome, everybody, to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy right here on SEN 1170 AM in Sydney. We are brought to you by Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness? Contact Bryden's Lawyers. What's going on in the production room with a muting? What's going on this morning? We are on fire this morning. We've had some really animated pre-show sessions talking about what happened last night in the Roosters v Melbourne. James Magnuson is co-host this morning. Brandy's off, but Brandy will be part of the show today. James Magnuson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vossie. I can't wait for all our Roosters family here at SEN. We're the home of the Roosters on SEN. So many Roosters listeners. They're going to come out of the woodwork this morning, Vossie. Some angry fans.
Okay, I'm going to kick off the discussion. We've got a big show today. I'll tell you, one of the stories we have got today is Will Harrison from the New South Wales Waratahs. We had a great reaction to Tom Gilbert on the program a couple of weeks ago, the injured Dolphin who's had, you know, back-to-back injuries, shoulder last year at Origin, James. That ruled his season out. Does a knee pre-season this year, whole season, you know, wiped out for Tom Gilbert. But Will Harrison, he's had 2 years of it. And then has his moment in the sun last week against the Crusaders. So that's a really good story. But I want to get straight to this point. Which was worse last year? Mistakes of senior players in the Roosters or referee or bunker mistakes? Like James Tedesco kicking on second tackle when you're 15 metres out from the line. Things like that. Why don't they get a mention in the press conference from the coach?
You're right, Vossie. The other one, I thought game on the line. I think 2 minutes to go. Last tackle option. Luke, here he goes, an end over end.
Yeah.
Kick for field possession position. I agree with you. Their big names didn't stand up in the big moments last night. I actually thought there was an equal number of calls go against Melbourne. The Jerome Hughes taken out when he grubbers through straight into a Munster 10 in the bin. And Tedesco trip with no 10 in the bin.
I just thought
the officiating overall in a big game like that, it probably left a bit to be desired.
I came away from the game, James, and I was thinking, you know, my first thought was the game is too hard for one person to referee. I was driving home last night thinking two referees because when you think about what we've done, kick disruptors, block shape, lead runners, everything around the tackle, you know, we made it hard enough with a wrestle.
Yeah.
There are so many things to watch in a game and we've made it even harder. Third man in, legs, tackles, all of that sort of stuff that happened last night to the point where they were punch drunk come the last minute of the game. I mean, Nelson Asifa-Solomona is running upfield and Jared Warrior-Hargreaves tackles him from behind and it gets called a penalty.
Was strange.
There's just so much on the referee's plate that I feel great empathy.
It was strange, Vossie. Yeah, it's a tough game for the referees, but we come back to this week after week.
It is their job.
Week after week, but this but is a slightly different but, Vossie, of the voluptuous kind, you may say. No, Roosters fans, each week, Trent Robinson, rather than come out and talk about the players and talk about the performance, it's back to the officials. And I don't think it's good enough. I don't think the results are there. I think for the squad that they have, they've underachieved now for the past minimum 4 years. And still, there were so many opportunities for the Roosters to level up in that game, to win that game. There was some poor defensive read to let in a couple of tries. Still, all the talk from Trent Robinson is about officiating. And there was calls that went both ways last night. I was actually watching it as a complete neutral, no dog in the fight, thinking, geez, Melbourne have copped the raw end of the stick here on a number of occasions. And then all I see in the press conference, there was like a minute 30 monologue from Trent Robinson lambasting the match officials.
Have your say. The Great Southern Bank open line is open right now. Again, if you're a neutral observer or separate category, Roosters fan, Melbourne fan, was there too much whinging from the Roosters? Is James' perception of Trent Robinson right? Have they been wronged horribly or are they more to blame? Have your say. Boy, oh boy, we have got a case though on two of the tries last night. And let's just move on from the tries for the moment. Where are the Roosters in terms of the competition? When you're talking 3 and 4 through 7 rounds, they haven't had the bye, but they're outside the 8. And Melbourne, as it stands, moved to the top of the table after last night's win. They're 5 and 1, and they have had a bye. Is the gap as big as the ladder would suggest between Melbourne and the Roosters, or do you think you know, things will even out over the course of the next 12, 15, 16 weeks. Because we're a quarter of the way through the season now. Quarter of the way.
Jeez, that goes quick. Greatest game of all, Vossi. Look, I think the Roosters are still contenders, but there's some big question marks over certain positions in their side still. With the current, with the halves partnership of Walker and Keary, I'm just not convinced they can win the comp. I know those weren't the two halves last night, but I just don't think that's the halves combination that wins you a comp for the Roosters. What is that combination? I don't know. Joey Manu last night, 100 metres last night, 300 metres a week before. He has to be more involved if there's any chance of winning the comp. I was really intrigued to see what his performance would be like this week in comparison to last week, Rossi, because they keep saying, oh, he's got license to roam. Well, I don't know. Does he?
Yeah, does he?
Because he's not roaming. He wasn't roaming.
No, he's not. No. He doesn't know a whole lot of roaming. He does when he gets the ball. He'll jink back in field. He'll more often not head back in field than head to the outside, doesn't he? He comes back in, left foot, bang, then looks offload. I thought last night their most threatening player, though, wasn't he? Like, Tedesco started the game very well. But I don't think it was it certainly was well short of Tedesco's best by the time the game was over. Actually, the line I think I used in commentary was, the lead actors are fluffing their lines tonight for the Roosters. Mm. You know, and they are superstar players, and they made a lot of errors last night, and I don't know whether Trent Robertson addressed any of those individually as he did refereeing decisions. Is he entitled? Is that all you want to hear from a press conference? But have you say, 1300-01-1170. Melbourne's run is remarkable. So they've gone 8-4-2-2-2, the margins going into last night, and then they win another close one by 6. And they've achieved victory in, what, 3-4 of the games in the last 5-6 minutes of the game? What a season.
They could be
almost bottom four had the result gone the wrong way in the last 5 minutes. I think with 10 minutes to play, they've been behind, and they would be 15th on the ladder.
and they haven't reached any great height yet, which is the amazing thing for Melbourne. I mean, Munster, you started to see glimpses of it. Pappenhausen's starting to see glimpses of it, but they haven't reached any great heights, and they're still getting it done, which is so impressive for Melbourne. And I think they're genuine title contenders, because when they do click, when they do start to play the style of football that we know Melbourne can, they're going to be hard to go with.
My Fox League colleague, Dan Ganane, put out a tweet last night on X. He said, Melbourne Storm would be 15th on the ladder if the result at the 70th minute was the end of games. If games were only 70 minutes long this season, Melbourne would currently be sitting 15th out of 17 teams. Like, that's incredible. That really is incredible. Now, you can say, lucky? No, can't be luck.
No.
You know, 80-minute game, they're always there competing. But that's a remarkable stat.
You know what that is? That's
seven rounds.
That's experience, calm heads in the position that matters. In the positions of your spine, calm heads that get the job done in that crucial part of the game.
Now, James, Brandy away today, you're the gift giver. I can see there you've got a little Signet Boost power bank in front of you. That's not the audience, by the way. You better give that away.
Okay. Damn it.
Our Instagram account's been going off. So if you want to be a new follower of our Instagram account, at Vossie Brandy SEN, any follower between now and the end of the show this morning, you're in with a chance of winning the Signet Boost power bank.
Now, what about this, Vossie? An extra chance to win if you DM us a picture of yourself and how you're listening to the show this morning. I'm going to give more weight to that. DM us a picture. If you're in your pajamas, if you're sitting on the Brasco, if you're at the breakfast table with a little transistor radio, I want to see how you're listening to the show.
I don't. You do. That's
I'm the prize giver.
You.
Yeah, that's me.
No, you want to watch Blake sitting on the crapper?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's you. Let us go over. We're a third host of the program today. It's not Gary of Newtown. It's James of Hornsby, who's called the Great Southern Bank Open Line. So let's bring him straight in the intro. Let him be one of the opening batsmen or opening bowlers this morning. James, say hello to James.
James, welcome.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Andy.
Hello, James.
Regarding the coaches' press conference, when they go off about the ref, you know, I heard ages ago, well, the ref ref didn't drop the ball, your player did. You know, put the blame where it should be. But if the coach is going to persist with the refs, give them a call the next morning and say, hey, we're a bit short of a ref down here at the local junior game. Can you come down and ref that for us, please?
Yeah.
Since you know so much about the game. Put them out in the field. Give them a whistle so they can go and do it. And then you see their performance. And then turn around and say, yeah, right. See if they talk about the refs then.
What about that famous one, Vossie? Was it on the footy show? So Gus did the touch judge job. What year was that?
Yeah. Oh, they're going way back, like a long time back. But yeah, it was Gus at his best.
Do you remember at one point he ran in and they said, "What did you see, Gus?" He said, "Oh, I didn't see anything. I just wanted to run in and be involved in the
air." It was so good. Gus was fantastic.
Oh, so good. Great.
James, you are saying what you've said with tongue a little bit in cheek, but we get the gist of we certainly get the sentiment. Thank you for the call. Great start. You are in the running to be the Club Med Caller of the Week. Now, just addressing the two tries, though, okay? So hang on a sec. Just so everyone knows, commentators don't write the rules, all right? So it's our job in the run of play to try and explain things. And maybe the viewer, the listener, isn't au fait or hasn't taken the time to prepare as we do at the start of the season and have to sit through all the, with respect, the Graeme Annesley addresses on rule interpretations and how we're going to tweak things different this year.
Ah, do you sit in on those, do you?
Well, I'll tell you what, James, and hello, take a knee, they're all on the NRL website.
You know,
if you want to go back and watch the clips and how things are explained, one is under, if you went to the search bar in the NRL website and put 2024 explainers, you will find all the rule explainers for the season, kick disruptors, how they're going to rule on things. One of them is lending weight. Okay, so we're going to the Katoa try last night. This is why Trent Robinson blew up, and this is why I explained it in commentary, because it was absolutely clear-cut. I want to take you back to February 14 this year, and it's now on the NRL website, so you can look at it, you can listen to it, you can see visual examples. This is what Graeme Annesley had to say about lending weight of teammates when you're in attack.
A player may lend weight to a teammate in possession to avoid him being pushed backwards, losing ground. But a player cannot lend weight to gain momentum or impede a defender from making a tackle. If this occurs, the referee will immediately call held and deem the tackle complete. And if a player lending weight to one of his own teammates assists in the scoring of a try, a penalty will be awarded.
Bingo. It's black and white. They clarified it at the start of the year, zero tolerance. So the three steps there, yes, if your teammate is being pushed back in goal, you can add weight, try and hold him up so he doesn't, or doesn't go over the sideline or doesn't go back in goal. If you do it in the field of play, you add weight. Boom, referee's obliged to say held straight away. That's where you've got to play the ball. And if it's in a try-scoring situation, you touch a teammate, be it for a split second, 1 second, 5 seconds, it's a penalty. They made it black and white at the start of the year, James. So what happened last night with the number one referee in the bunker, Adam G? Please explain.
Is that Adam G in the bunker, was it?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Doesn't help, main man, does it?
It's our best in the game.
That doesn't help.
So did he not get that memo at the start of the year? Does he not sit through the videos like we do?
Well, look, Vossie, when you listen to that ruling from Graeme Annesley, it's black and white, right? And
100%.
And what he did, he ruled in the grey because common sense to me said Nelson goes to push, touches, and then maybe he remembers the rule. I'm not sure because he pulled out.
Yeah.
So in terms of using some discretion, I would have said, yeah, that's right. But we keep coming back to discretion leads to controversy. So you've got to go black and white. And black and white was no try. So I can see where Adam G's come from because I see that he's using discretion going, well, Nelson went to, but then he didn't lend his weight. If he wanted to lend all 130 kilos or whatever he weighs, then...
would have ended up on Randwick Racecourse.
Oh, yeah. But Nelson must. He must have remembered or someone must have yelled at Nelson, get off, because he pulled the weight off. But yeah, Graeme Annesley, as he explained it there, black and white, that has to be a no try.
Black and white.
Black and white.
This has nothing to do with interpretation at the start of the year. I ask you right now and respond to me. Should Andrew Voss get his eyes checked? I saw Remus Smith put two hands into the back of Joey Manu trying to catch a ball and a bomb that led to the last try. Did I see that or did I not see that? Two hands are in the upper back of Joey Manu pushing him. Did I see that, James?
Yep.
Tell me, or do I go to the eye check, the early opener?
No,
the
eye check. Can confirm it's still Eagle Eyes Voss. That's your cut and dry kick disruptor. I'm not sure, Vossy. I'm not sure.
Well, see, it's great. We get to sit in the ivory tower and just, say, oh, I don't know.
The weird one, though, is, right, when you say we sit in the ivory tower, but another tower that you can sit in and get every angle of what happens is the bunker. It's a tower of sorts itself. I mean,
38 screens.
You can't
38 screens.
You can't blame that on Ashley Klein because that happens fast. He calls try.
Agreed.
The bunker has every angle of that and basically the benefit of hindsight.
Well, then Trent Robinson, if I'm to say I'm forgetting the big picture and the trend of Trent Robinson always sounding like he's complaining, I'm actually with him on the two tries last night. I'm with him on the two tries. But Trent, I need balance in your match appraisal. Are you bagging James Tedesco the same way you're bagging the decisions? Because some of your star players last night made mistakes that in the context of the game were the equivalent of refereeing line ball calls that you think they got wrong.
Yeah. I think in the balance of a match, whether it's a conscious effort or not, things tend to level out at times. I just thought the Jerome Hughes taken out when going for a try, penalty at worst, 10 in the bin, penalty at best, 10 in the bin at worst, and then the James Tedesco trip. So I think in the balance of the game, they even themselves out.
Every trip is deliberate. Should a bloke who trips another player, should that be automatic sin bin? Let's do a snap poll on that as well. And why wouldn't it be? Like last night, why would they just report? What's in doubt here? It's a trip. Deliberate. You'll talk about the swimming championships a little later on this morning. You've got the football desk covered with Europa League. We are here to talk sport. This is the place to do it. Set the agenda today. You have the opportunity on the text and the open line. Who are we here for, James? Who are we here for? Who do we sing for, bro?
As always, Vossi, we're here for Brighton's lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Brighton's lawyers. And remember, get us on the Great Southern Bank open line, 1300 01 1170. You could get in the trip. You could be in the running to win the trip to Bali worth $10,000 for our Club Med Caller of the Year. Thanks for making the switch to the home of sport in Sydney, SEN 1170 AM.